Every year on this day, on the first Sunday of Lent, we make a pause after a few weeks of having been trying to work in our conversion, and we hear an invitation that is very simple, very direct, and very beautiful, an invitation to rejoice. So on this day that we call Laetare Sunday because of the first word of the entrance antiphon that we sang at the beginning of the Mass, the Church wants us, so to speak, wants to convince us that we must rejoice. And then we have all these simple signs of this joy, the color of our vestments, the fact that we have flowers today, which we don't have during Lent, or there is more music, more organ. Now, all of this is very nice. I'm sure we all agree. The question, if we want to be honest, and if therefore we want to find the very reason for this joy, is if it is also real and effective. To put it in a very simple way, can we be simply told, rejoice, and so actually rejoice? In our psalm, we heard something very interesting. In the second stanza, there was a point where the people that were captives, were very far from Jerusalem, were told by their captors to give them joy. They urged us to rejoice. But they couldn't because they were far from Jerusalem. And maybe we feel the same way. Today we are called to rejoice, but can we? What about our struggles and our problems that we all have? What about those days when we really suffer, when we encounter a heavy cross? But even if everything was just perfect and nice in our lives, what about the many sufferings that we see in our world? Can we actually rejoice? And these are not just interesting rhetorical questions that we ask, but rather very important and necessary questions. The point is that the Church does call us today to rejoice, whether we're feeling great or not when we come to Mass this morning, whether we've been growing clearly in our faith, or maybe the opposite, the call is the same, rejoice. And why? Well, because what we heard in today's Gospel is true. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. Or to put it differently, as we heard in the second reading, by grace you have been saved. So we should ask ourselves in a simple but honest way, do I really believe this? And we can hear again these words. By grace you have been saved. So we're talking about an event that has happened. You have been saved. Something real and powerful that has changed everything. But also we're talking about a grace. And Paul was even so clear that he said, this does not come from you. This is not about your achievements, your great way of planning, your Lent and your life and your family and everything. This is a grace, something that has happened. And if this is true, then we should rejoice. And of course, it is true. You know, there are so many things that we know about our faith, and we're very blessed. There are many things that we can, that we should learn about our faith. But in the end, even if we knew everything, and even if we have read every single book about our faith, there is one very essential core that we should constantly renew and believe more and more in that core essence of our faith, that Jesus was God and is God, that he died on the cross for us personally, and that he is risen. That's what Jesus said in today's gospel. Now, God so loved the world. And he also said, as a prophecy of what was going to happen in his own life, the Son of God must be lifted up so that everyone who believes might have eternal life. So again, this is something that has already happened. Jesus died for us on the cross. Do we know that? Of course we do. Well, it's not necessarily about the newness of some new groundbreaking information, but about believing more deeply in that which we already know. Jesus died for us personally. This happened, but this also happens constantly in a wonderful way, in one place, on this altar. When we come and the Mass is offered, the sacrifice of the Mass is celebrated, the Son of Man is lifted up again. Pope Francis, a couple of weeks ago, said something very powerful about this. He said this: when we draw close to the altar during Mass, our memory goes to the altar of the cross, where the first sacrifice was made. Well, let's think about this for a second, because for a reason, the Pope did not say that our memory goes to some beautiful sight in the Sea of Galilee or Mount Tabor or any other wonderful place, not even to the upper room, but to Calvary, to the altar of the cross. And this is why the altar has a cross, to remind us that this, what we do here, is not really a nice meal among friends, but this is about salvation. This is about being with Christ as he is lifted up for us again. And that's the importance of the Mass. There is absolutely nothing in this life that comes even close to the importance, to the power, the transformative power of this sacrament. Absolutely nothing. Because this is about that salvation, that event that happened 2,000 years ago, coming to us in a powerful and real way. This is about salvation, not just our personal expression or what we like or our friendship or the way in which we like to pray or sing. This is about receiving that salvation. This is the only way of understanding so many beautiful testimonies of love and devotion to the Eucharist. One in particular, when in the early 300s, some martyrs were caught in their crime, which was to celebrate the Mass, they were asked by the Romans were puzzled, why do you do this if you know that this is forbidden, if you know that you're going to die if you're caught? And their answer was so short that even the Romans recorded this. Their answer was, because without Sunday, we cannot live. Without the Mass, we simply cannot live. This is a reason for our joy. That joy is here, available, if you will, a possibility. We have been saved, and that salvation comes to us again today and every single day if we want, as we participate in this mystery. If this is true, then we should really rejoice, and it is true. The question again is, do I believe? Can I believe more? Now, Holy Week starts in just 2 weeks. So as we renew today our Lenten promises, let us ask Mary to pray for us and intercede for us so that we can believe more, more deeply, that we have been saved by grace. And so rejoice, for the grace of that salvation come to us in a powerful and real way as we offer again the sacrifice of the Mass.